Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I am speaking with Dr. Craig Horbinski, a medical oncologist who currently serves as the Director of Neuropathology and Professor of Pathology, Neurologic Surgery, and Neuropathology in the Department of Pathology at Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University about clinical practice guidelines for central nervous system cancers. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Horbinski. I wanted us to start this conversation talking about gliomas. Can you discuss the updated classification of gliomas based on histology and molecular features? Right now.
The molecular revolution in pathology in general, and in neuropathology in particular, specifically as concerns brain tumors, has been going on for now better part of two decades. And it's culminated more recently with the fifth edition of the World Health Organization that was published in 2021, where to a greater extent than ever, we are incorporating molecular features, specific molecular features, as part of the diagnostic criteria for a lot of tumors and a lot of tumor subtypes. It's gotten to the point where pretty detailed molecular workup is essential. It's indispensable for routine neurosurgical practice and neuropathology practice.
Thank you, Dr. Horbinski. Can you tell me how you're incorporating these updates?
Oh, well, we do it on a routine basis. Specifically for all of our gliomas or anything we suspect to be a glioma, we run next-generation sequencing, whole genome copy number profiling, methylation profiling, genomic DNA methylation profiling, and integrate those results in with the histopathology. So if the histopathology says one thing or is a little broad in terms of what the differential could ultimately be, we add in the molecular data and then produce an integrated diagnosis.
Can you expand and talk about the importance of molecular and genetic testing for gliomas?
A lot of these different tumors can look virtually identical, both radiologically and under the microscope, but have very, very different clinical outcomes, different responses to therapy, different rates of recurrence. And you can really only get at that. You can only accurately stratify those differences from patient to patient, from tumor to tumor, by doing detailed molecular testing. It provides us another dimension or several dimensions of data that standard routine histopathology by the light microscope just can't do.
What do the NCCN guidelines recommend in terms of testing for gliomas?
Well, at least as concerns the most common adult-type diffuse gliomas, the required workup includes, of course, IDH mutation screening. If for oligodendrogliomas, you have to prove 1p19q co-deletion, it also helps to see a TERP promoter mutation in most cases. Other markers we screen for on a routine basis that should be screened for are P53 mutations, ATRX mutations, and specifically in the most common setting, we get glioblastomas that don't necessarily show all the histopathologic features of a glioblastoma, like necrosis and microvascular proliferation. Those are often missing in a glioblastoma. But by molecular testing, we find that it's got a TERP promoter mutation, EGFR amplification, gain of chromosome 7, loss of chromosome 10. You know, if you have that constellation of alterations or one or more of those things, the new guidelines based on studies and outcome data recommend that you still call it a glioblastoma. And that's just for adult-type diffuse gliomas. I mean, the pediatric gliomas have undergone substantial revisions. There's new entities out there, new types and subtypes of tumors that are defined in large part on the specific molecular alterations they have. Same thing for ependymomas, medulloblastomas, all the different major types of tumors. You have to prove certain mutations in order to accurately call it that.
We'll be right back after this message.
This is Dr. Manmeet Aluwalia of the Miami Cancer Institute of Baptist Health, South Florida in Miami, Florida. I'm a proud 2023 recipient of the Oncology Icons Award from Targeted Oncology. My clinical journey focuses on neurologic oncology. To learn more, visit the Targeted Oncology website.
We're back with Dr. Craig Horbinski discussing clinical practice guidelines for central nervous system tumors. So, Dr. Horbinski, what are some of your recommendations for community oncologists as they face central nervous system tumors in their clinics?
For first things first, just diagnosing them. And I think for the community pathologists, for community oncologists, the threshold for having a case sent to a tertiary or quaternary academic center that has this kind of molecular armamentarium available, the threshold should be kind of low, because we're finding more and more that the more we screen, the more interesting things we catch, some of which is actually targetable, like FGFR1 fusions, that sort of thing, or something that might radically change the prognosis substantially. A glioblastoma or something that was thought to be a glioblastoma by methylation profiling might actually be a pleomorphic xanthomastocytoma. And that radically changes the patient's prognosis and management. So I think that's the first thing, is just to send the patient doesn't have to go to a big center necessarily, but the tissue is easy to put in the mail and just ship it to us through FedEx or something, or any other center that offers this kind of testing. And then that's the first thing. And then once the testing is done, to really integrate it with the histopathology, produce a unifying diagnosis. And based on that, there's lots of information in according to what subtype of tumor you've got.
Thank you, Dr. Horbinski. What are some of the important issues with treatment of central nervous system tumors that you hope to see addressed in future research? Looking forward.
I would say, for one thing, a cure. That would be the first thing that comes to mind. The diagnosing, the prognostication, that's all quite a few years ahead of meaningful therapeutics that are directed towards a lot of these tumor subtypes. And it's not too surprising that that would be the case. It's a lot easier to develop a prognostic biomarker than it is to come up with a therapeutic that targets that specific type of tumor that you've just described. I think the longer term, though, we're hopefully going to see more advances in therapies, immunotherapy, maybe some targeted therapies in certain circumstances. That's the biggest unmet need. I think as far as the next wave of diagnostics goes, it's hard to say. I mean, we started with the sequencing, the DNA assessments, and now we're in the epigenomic phase of things with methylation profiling. It'll be interesting to see if at some point, and of course that's driven by technology and its availability and cost, if either single cell sequencing becomes more feasible on a routine basis, or possibly proteomics, to subtype tumors according to what they're expressing, either within the cell or on the cell surface, or even maybe histone modifications. Right now we're studying DNA modifications, DNA methylation, but histone methylation and acetylation might actually yield even more data on tumor types. But we're talking years and years of research before we can tell what's going to really pan out.